Wow, what a great treat to be here. I was telling somebody here when I came in the sanctuary tonight, I think it was like a year and a half ago that I've been here, and I think your pastors were gone, and I would fly up on a Sunday morning before service and fly back after the service, but just to see what the Lord's doing here. I love just being with you, and my heart's always happy, but this time coming, I'm so excited. I'm excited about these recordings tomorrow as well, but to be with your pastors, Mark and Brenda, are great treasures in our hearts, Heidi and I, and I know the local church, but you know, the body of Christ around the world. We just really, really love them. The thing I love, you know, I check my phone real quick. I have kind of a record of every place I preach, and I've preached now 35 years here at Heart of the Bay. And so it's amazing. The beautiful thing about it, I mean, in 35 years, Brenda has not one change. You know, she's eternally young. You know what I mean? She's just eternally youthful, you know, full of joy, huh? Now, Pastor Mark, on the other hand, he's eternally young as well. So, but anyway, I just enjoy the fellowship and the company. I got something really in my heart. I was sharing with him earlier today and making our hearts happy that I'll bring to you one day. It's thrilling me. But isn't that beautiful about the love of God? Hallelujah. The love of God thrills us. And this is how wonderful Jesus is. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how marvelous, you know, is Jesus in every way. So I just trust you're blessed tonight and refreshed and encouraged as we share together. I do have a little mission video highlighting the 40 years of mutual faith. I think we sent that forward. So let's take a moment and let's watch this mission video. For the past 40 years, Mutual Faith Ministries International has simply desired to be present to help. This is exactly what our world needs, especially in these very troubled times. Founded in 1984 by Keith and Heidi Hershey, Mutual Faith Ministries was launched. This mission's ministry expression is based on a simple desire expressed in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, to see people and impart to them the love of God. Simply to be present. To be present in people's lives makes all the difference in their world. And this is the simple life-giving ministry expression of Mutual Faith Ministries. In order to facilitate this mission assignment, Mutual Faith Ministries has established life centers, built mission centers, rescued disadvantaged children and orphans in our life homes, educated hundreds of kids in our Life Unlimited schools, rescued and restored women from Trokosi slavery, educated a new generation of Christian leaders throughout the world, provided relief to thousands of refugees in Africa and the Middle East in times of war and political upheaval and natural disasters, rebuilt life centers after massive destructive calamity, provided rest, restoration, and renewal for Christian leaders at our retreat centers, preached and introduced thousands to the gospel of God's love in Christ all over the world. And by God's grace, Mutual Faith Ministries will continue to be present, to help everyone, everywhere.
Well, praise the Lord. People ask me if I'm going to slow down, you know. And I'm not. I'm just going to just get up and wind up. Hallelujah. And raise a hallelujah and just raise the banner high, huh? Yeah. And share the love of the Father. It's really, really wonderful. And I got nothing better to do. I might as well just gossip the good news. Somebody needs to tell somebody how to understand the love of the Father. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight because we live in a supposedly Christian, you know, country. People think everybody in America has heard the gospel, but they don't understand the gospel. So they don't receive and walk in the revelation of the love of the Father. And so I think, you know, we live in a broken world. Have you noticed everything's broken? I just came back from Cuba, as Pastor Mark mentioned. I've wanted to go to Cuba for a few decades, and it was never right. But finally, my heart was open, and The door was right. We started Bible schools there this last year. So our Latin America team leader, Donald Korak, and so they wanted me to come for the first graduation. We had 22 students. It was really, really wonderful being in Cuba, but you see just the brokenness of, you know, the Castro government and just the chaos and pain and heartache. And everywhere I'm preaching, there's such brokenness. It's just everything's broken. It's like even in Lebanon, you know, and your pastors have been there. They've seen the campus we built. I mean, the auditorium seats 1,000. And it's jam-packed full of people and Muslims coming to Christ. We just had an event there, you know. We have 300 Muslims being discipled each week. Isn't it wonderful? You know, but everything's broken. Now with all the Israel, you know, Gaza war and the Hamas war and the challenge with Hezbollah. And just, everything's scary. And people live in full fear. And so even in America, it's broken. You can't have conversations. People, you know, like shout at you about whatever. You know, it's not, everything's broken. And so I was trying to think about mutual faith. How do I define what we do as a mission organization without using a lot of spiritual words? Because a lot of times when we use spiritual words, people don't get it. I used to always talk about those verses, Romans 1, 11, and 12. You know, I long to see you that I might impart to you spiritual commodities or spiritual gifts so that you will be encouraged and strengthened and established through the mutual faith, both of you and me. So I used to talk about being a spiritual distribution center for heaven here. You know, I talked about impartation power. People don't understand some of these phrases. So I was thinking, how can I really very succinctly explain to people what I do? And I came up with the idea, I'm just present to help. Nothing more, nothing. I just choose to be present with people in pain, in chaos, in problems. And in the midst, we do beautiful things. Just suddenly. Like I was a couple of weeks ago in Cuba, and now I'm building a building there. You know, because I saw the massive need. We have 13 pastors working, and we have over 200 now Bible school students in Cuba. And so they needed something. I said, well, I'll build it. I got nothing better to do, you know. But I love being interrupted. And it brings a deliverance to people. It brings a peace and a joy. I just said, hey, whatever I'm going to build, I want some air conditioning available. Hallelujah. Because I was sucking air. You know what I mean? I had a wonderful weight loss program down there. It's magnificent. Oh, but I said, no, we're going to believe God for air conditioning. But, you know, but being present to help. I find this now like in Lebanon and, our leaders, you know, your pastors know them and some of the precious people there. And everybody's overwhelmed for their families and what to do, where to go. Do you run and hide? Do you leave the nation? What do you do? And I just choose to be present.
That's right.
Even right now in America, in all the brokenness of the Hershey family tree, I choose to be present in all my problems with the people in my world to help. This is what your Father does. The Bible says that God Almighty is very present to help. And when does He help you? He helps you in trouble. See, trouble can really be a good place to be. I mean, if you're in trouble, don't diminish yourself like, what an idiot I am. I made a mess out of my life. No. You're in a place where the Lord will help you. He helps you in trouble. He's a present help in trouble. So whatever is going on in life, God wants to do something so beautiful and so... so redemptive. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes I don't think we get the help we need because we don't understand really what we have access to.
Yes. Good.
We don't get it. We don't comprehend. Even as believers, we live very broken lives at times that we don't have to. Everything can be whole. Everything can be restored. But sometimes we don't know how to comprehend. You ever have a conversation with people and you don't comprehend each other. Like you ever talk to your spouse? And you're having a conversation and you're on different wavelengths, different pages.
Yeah.
Now, Heidi and I have never had that problem. I've always just prophesied to her and said, "Thus saith the Lord, my dear one." No, Heidi and I, we've had many conversations through 40 some years of marriage where we don't get it. And I'll say, I didn't say that. That's not what I meant. Have you ever had that? And you're kind of tiptoeing back. And then it can bring tension. None of you. You have a very spiritual church here. This is wonderful. But you have to. I remember comprehension. You know, there's one thing about comprehending one another in our humanness, which is very difficult now. But it's another thing comprehending the Father who loves us. We don't get it. We don't comprehend the light of his love for us. Look at the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, In him, in Jesus, speaking of Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. Notice what the light is. The light is the life. It's the Zoe. It's not just some presence of something. It's the life of Jesus. The life is the light of men. And it says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. People in darkness just don't get it. The light can shine and they don't get it. And they think they got it, they think they're safe, but the fruit of their lives shows that they don't comprehend the light. They're not flowing in the revelation of the light. You know, some translations read that the darkness didn't overtake it. It's like if the sanctuary was completely pitch dark and suddenly these stage lights went on, and you know, the darkness is not going to overtake the light. The light's going to win, yeah. Right? But sometimes the light shines on us. Sometimes people have an experience with Jesus and they're darker for it because they don't comprehend it. I'll explain what I mean as I teach a little bit tonight. So it's very, very important that we learn to comprehend, that we interpret the truth of Jesus for our life. People don't grasp it. They don't get it. Look at verse 10 of John chapter 1. It says, he was in the world and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own didn't get it. They didn't receive him. But as many as got it, they receive him. And to them he gives power or the authority, the ability to become children. You take your place in the family, children of God, those who believe in his name. And so I've been thinking about, it's one thing to be present to help people who have physical needs. And I'm all for helping people. We do that in missions. You know, you feed people, you clothe people. We remember in the old days, Pastor Mark, remember, we used to ship the 40-foot containers, and I bring a little team up here, and we'd load these from the whatever warehouses out here. And I like, it's good. But, you know, the older I get, I want to be present to help people comprehend the light. Not just give them a meal, though that's important, but to comprehend the revelation of Jesus so they can receive and walk in the fullness of everything he has for them. And it's very important that we put ourselves in a position where we can help people get. I remember when I was in high school, my parents were divorced when I was 16, and we had to move from the little town. In fact, the retreat center that you saw in the little video, we have one in the Philippines now, but I have one in my hometown where I grew up. Pastor Mark and I were talking about just being attached to your roots a little bit. So I grew up in a little town, 1,000 people. I grew up 5 miles outside of the town in an old farmhouse. I raised pigs. My daddy's a bricklayer. I'm one of 5 kids. So a simple, beautiful life. I loved it, you know. And I thought my great ambition in life was to grow up and be a hog farmer. And then Jesus set me free. Hallelujah. Huh? I got delivered for that. But anyway, but I still have an affection for my childhood. And So this retreat center opened up that I bought, you know, 7-8 years ago. And I host pastors there at different times throughout the year and minister to people and have groups come in. And because what I want to do in this season of my life is to sit with people and help them comprehend the light. I want to get it. I want to be astonished by the revelation of the love of God. And so it reminds me when I was young, when my parents were divorced, we moved a lot. My mom was kind of a nomadic, you know, and we'd move every few months. And so the middle of my senior year of high school, I was in Lansing, Michigan, and that's when I played against Magic Johnson. I told you the story before in high school. And his team won. But anyway, he was a sophomore when I was a senior. But we moved on Christmas Day that year, 1975, to South Georgia. And I was in another school and finished high school down there. And I lived there like 6 months and then moved again. But I was really disappointed about a lot of things in life, my family life, everything, you know. And didn't know what I was scared, didn't know what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? You know, normal thoughts kids have, I guess. And I wasn't doing very good in some classes. And so there was a friend of mine. His name was Stephen. And he was like me, a little slow, you know. He wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. But he had a sister 2 years long. And she was kind of pretty, you know. But she was brilliant. So she would sit with us once a week. And she would tutor us in whatever math. And she never minimized us. She never said, "You guys are a bunch of idiots. You guys are absolutely morons." You know, it's just, no. She sat with us, and you know what? She was present to help. And I got through the class, and now I can count. No, anyway. But what I'm trying to say is, what we need in life is people who can sit alongside and help people interpret and comprehend the light so they can live in the fullness of what Jesus has for them. So look at the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, this powerful prayer Paul gives the church of Ephesus. It's a long prayer, great prayer to pray for yourself. But let's just look at one phrase in it. Verse 18, Paul prays that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Yeah, you get it. You know what? I'm going to suggest that you pray this phrase for 1 week. Don't worry about the whole prayer. Just have that throughout the day. Father, today, help the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened. Help me to comprehend the light today. Because life's very painful. It's a bumpy road throughout the day, isn't it? With circumstances and situations. And so we need to come to a place where we can interpret and we can comprehend what God has for us. Now, sometimes we all need help. Like I needed help in mathematics. I still need help in everything. You know, I was at the Burbank airport to fly here and I went through security and I got my phone back out of the security and I couldn't see the screen. And I didn't know how to make the screen light. Isn't that silly? And I thought I did, and I did that, and nothing happened. So I called a young kid that works for me at the office. How do I get my phone screen? And you know what? He didn't say, "You're such an idiot." No, he didn't. "You're such an old man. You don't know how to do nothing with tech." No, he was very kind. He was very polite. And in 3 seconds, you know, he fixed my problem. I could have talked to my 8-year-old granddaughter or something. You know, they would know how. But we all need people at times. There's things in all of our lives where we're a little bit blinded. We're not good at everything. We all need one another. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, "You need me whether you like it or not." You wanted to say that, didn't you? I know you wanted to. But you know, this to me is what mutual faith does. We're present to help. To help what? To help people understand the revelation of the light that shines upon us. So you can receive. I think everything in life is about receiving the abundance of grace. Amen. Receiving the gift of righteousness. And understand it's a daily conscious revelation. Yeah. so you walk in the fullness of it.
Yeah.
And if you don't have somebody to help you do it, you'll live knowing about Jesus blinded.
Yes.
You'll be in darkness. Let me explain. It's very, very interesting to me how many people who have an experience with Jesus and they're darker for it. Because they have no comprehension. They have no revelation of the light. This is why I think it's so cool that you would come out on a Wednesday night and fight traffic to sit in a church in a live audience, face to face. Because this is why I have such respect for you and people who want to be present. There's something that happens when you're present. There's a dynamic. You may not fully understand it all the time, but something happens when you just hang out, when you're together. And I think really ministry gifts, our greatest assignment is to be present to help people comprehend. This is what ministry gifts are for. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Since you all are Bible people, I'm going to read a lot of Bible verses. Do you mind? Look at from verse 11, and I'm just going to keep reading for a while, I think. Look at it, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the working for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer children." So if you gained an understanding, you're no longer childish. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness, the deceitful plotting. "But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up in all things into him who's the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore," verse 17, "in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility or the vanity of your mind, having their understanding darkened." If you don't have the revelation of Jesus and the finished work of Jesus and know your certainty and the strength and the clarity and the assurance of your position in Christ, you will walk with all these other calamities that are carnal attached to you. It's darkness. You'll walk like the world walks. You'll live like the world lives. It says their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. Remember, the life is the light. The life is the light. You're alienated from the life of God or the light of God because of the ignorance. You're blinded. You haven't had somebody sit with you and help you get it. I to this day am not embarrassed to ask for help for things. I need a lot of help. I need a lot of help in life. A lot of help in ministry. You know, every day, Heidi and I, you know, like even this morning, we have little devotions together. I give her communion. I say, "Let's eat, drink, and be happy."
Right.
We pray over our kids by name, grandkids by name, in all the brokenness of our world, our family trees. Pray over all of our teams, our staffs in different nations. And then I say, "Lord, I need help. Because I don't know how to keep anything together apart from grace."
Yeah.
Jesus, in you all things hold together.
Yeah.
You're the only super glue I got.
That's right.
So I take communion.
Yeah.
And say, "Heidi, just have a good day. I'm going to the Burbank Airport. I'm going to go see Pastor Mark, Pastor Brenda, and see the saints."
Amen.
Yeah. But I need help in life. And so do you. But this is what ministry gifts do. This is what ministry gifts do. They help people comprehend the light. I think that's the greatest way to be present. But it's not just for people like in the pulpit. It's for disciples. Let me explain what I mean. Many years ago, during 9/11, I know Pastor Brenda's birthday's on 9/11. She was like an explosion into the world, you know, when she was born. The world's never been the same. But, you know, when the 9/11 thing happened in 2001, God gave me an assignment a couple weeks after that. You know, I've told the story many times through the years here, and that's why we have the campus in Lebanon and all. But it's built around the idea of what I'm teaching about being present to help people comprehend the revelation of Jesus.
Yes.
Because if people don't have the revelation of Jesus, you'll walk as a mere man. You'll walk as a carnal believer. So in Acts 9, it tells a story. I'm just going to not read it. I've read too many scriptures right now. But let me just tell you the story in a Keith Hershey vernacular. It's about where this guy saw. The dude was a religious scholar. He was taught in the best schools for Judaism. He was a Judaizer. And he didn't get Jesus. He didn't comprehend the light. He didn't understand anybody who comprehended the light, and people who comprehended the light and were found in the way of Jesus, or followers of Jesus, he persecuted them. Right? That's what the Bible says about him. And he would bind them, he would haul them to prison, he would consent to their death. The dude was angry, and yet he thought he knew everything. You notice a lot of people who know everything are blinded people. And so Jesus finally said, well, I think I'm going to talk to the brother because the Father loves him. But he's kicking against me. So Jesus shows up. How did he show up? In light. Yeah. And it was lighter than the noonday sun, the Bible says. He was on the road to Damascus walking or riding, you know, and he confronted Jesus. And Jesus even witnessed to him. Jesus talked to him. And he didn't get it. So Jesus said, okay, I'm done. Listen, I got a follower of mine in named Ananias. He's in Damascus. His address is on the street. It's called Straight. You're heading that way. Go see him. Because you don't get it from me. So he saw the light, but he was darker for it. He was blinded by the light. Did you ever think you could meet Jesus and be worse off physically or mentally or emotionally? But people are. I'm amazed at the people I talk to now that used to be supposedly in Christ, and now they have no understanding. They're like they deconstructed everything where they don't believe anything, you know. And they're beautiful people whom God loves, but somebody has to sit with them. So Saul is heading off blind now because of the light. And the Lord Jesus goes and talks to Ananias and said, hey, I talked to a brother that didn't get it from me, so maybe he can get it from you. I want you to talk to him. And Ananias said, hey, this is a terrible idea. I've heard about the brother. I don't want to have nothing to do with him. I don't like him. Has the Lord ever had you wanted to minister to somebody that you don't like? Isn't it wonderful serving Jesus? You know, serving Jesus, we have to love our enemies. Isn't it beautiful? Huh? So, this is what happened. Jesus talked Ananias into doing it. You read the whole story in chapter 9. Saul shows up at Ananias' house, and Ananias opens the door and says, hey, brother Saul, you gotta see that in faith. Redemptive work you have to see in faith. Brother Saul, come on in. And he starts talking to him. He was present to help him. And the blindness came off of him. Light came in. And what did Ananias do? The Bible says for many days. It just wasn't a quick visit to the coffee shop. He sat with him for many days. And he taught him of the love of the Father in Christ. And Saul was converted. He was baptized. He started preaching Jesus. And it's amazing to me that when you comprehend the light, everything about your life can change. And so you all know the story, how it was this guy, Saul, who is now called Paul, that the Lord used to write and reveal the new covenant of grace. In other words, the redemptive life of Jesus through the cross and resurrection. The Bible says you're not to know Jesus according to the flesh. The physical life, you know him through the redemptive life. And that's the new covenant revealed in all the epistles Paul's written. It's astonishing. It's hard to understand. Peter the apostle said, man, reading after Paul to get that is really quite a deal. But so you need help understanding the light of the redemptive work of Jesus. It's a mystery that's beautiful, but it's now revealed to us, and we can walk in the powerful revelation of it. So later, a few years later, a number of years later, Paul's testifying about this in Acts 22. And he explains this in verse 12. He's testifying about his life and what he learned when somebody was present to help him. Somebody who didn't like him helped him.
Amen.
Somebody who thought different than him helped him.
Glory.
And look what it says in Acts 22, verse, then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and stood before me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At that same hour I looked upon him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you. You can know his will.
Yeah.
You can see Jesus. You can hear his voice.
Yeah.
You can be his witness.
Yeah.
These are the five things that I think are necessary to tell somebody if you're going to help somebody. According to Paul, this is what preserved him. And all those years ago, 23 years ago, whenever it was, when God gave me the assignment right after the towers fell, it was this assignment. I called it Operation Life Cell. To raise up Ananiases to be present, to help. People don't get it. And that's why today, to see the Life Center jammed with Muslim people, I marvel. I marvel. But it's not anything I did, because I don't really do nothing. It's the people there. It's the team there. I mean, all I was a little vision carrier and was, you know, crazy enough to say, cool, let's do this and go figure out, you know, who will join their faith with me. That's all I did. I did nothing more. Because even when I had vision and bought the campus and did all the stuff and built, I didn't even do that. You guys did that, and churches like yours did all of it. All I did was desire to be present to help. And this is what's so beautiful and powerful about all of our lives. We can be this kind of an Ananias, because all of us have something important to share, and we can present Jesus. We can present the Lamb of God. So faith is present. Faith is always present in Jesus. Always. You're never at a deficiency if you can just raise his name. If you can behold the Lamb, faith is present, and as much as you'll ever need for that moment. Faith comes by hearing the message of Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Christo is the word in Romans 10:17. It's not the word of God, it's the word of Christ. It's the redemptive word of Jesus.
Amen.
And this is what the Bible says if you're a faith person. It's Colossians 3:16. Do we have that verse, Colossians 3:16? This is a good verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. See, your assignment is to be present to help people if you're full of faith.
Yeah.
If you have a word of Christ in you, the Bible says you teach. That doesn't mean you have to lecture or preach. No, you sit by somebody like the person did to me in school and say, Keith, this is how you solve this. This, you got to have the right equation. You're not thinking through the equation. What you do with an unbeliever, you say, your equation here for life is all based on you. It's the wrong equation. Let's get rid of you. Now let's put Jesus in the equation. And now let's find you in Jesus. You talk to people.
Yes.
You're teaching people. You're admonishing people. Isn't that what that verse said? It says you teach and admonish one another.
Yes.
So you're present to help one another comprehend the light. Because all of us can go through painful things where it feels like the light went out. And people think, I wonder if God even cares about me. My life is so screwed up, I wonder if he even loves me. No, we all have these emotional things. That's why you can't live by what you feel.
Right.
You got to live by what you believe.
Amen.
And let your emotions and feelings conform to the word of God. So you got to sit with people who are disappointed.
Right.
And be disappointed with them to a degree. Don't let them swallow you out with their grief. But bring them back to the place to see the Lamb. So it says teaching and admonishing one another, what it says in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. I know I have a word of Christ in me, my heart's happy. If I'm depressed, and periodically I get overwhelmed, but I need a word of Christ then. Because the Bible teaches me that if I have the word of Christ residing, I got a melody. You know what I did before I came here? I took a nap. You know, I come to town and your pastors are so nice to me, and you know, they give me a little, a bite to eat and stuff. I go, I fell asleep, and I never take naps. I slept for 2 hours.
Yeah.
2 hours. I didn't know I was that tired. And then I woke up and I said, man, hallelujah. Where am I? you know. But you know, I got my phone out, and I got some old hymns.
Yeah.
And all I did is had a melody in my heart to come preach. Because the word of the redemptive hymns.
Yes.
You gotta find a place to come alongside people where there can be a melody, not contention, not strife.
Come on.
There's got to be a place where you can bring understanding. You know, look at it says in Acts chapter 18. You guys don't mind if I preach a little longer, do you? You got nothing better to do anyway. Look at this. Acts chapter 18. There's a certain brother named Apollos. Remember, he was born in Alexandria. Now, I've been there preaching in Alexandria in Egypt. Did conferences there for like 500 pastors years ago. Had Saeed Deeb, our Middle East leader, said it all. Anyway, they came to... look, it said the dude was eloquent. And he was mighty in the scripture. The brother knew his stuff. The dude was a scholar. Look at it says, next verse, verse 25. It says, the man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit, and he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of the John.
Wow.
He didn't understand certain new covenant things. And see, there's a lot of beautiful people, God loves us all, who are anchored in an old system.
Right.
And they get a little frustrated to step into a system that they have no skin in. That they got no personal obedience that approves them in. See, the new covenant is based on the obedience of Jesus.
Yeah.
And your faith sets you in Him. So, the Bible goes on to say, it says, well, Priscilla and Aquila, the next verse, if we could, verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they stood up and rebuked him and said, you're a false teacher, you're a good-for-nothing low-down... No. It said they took him aside. Notice how to be present to help. You never rebuke people. You love people. And sometimes people don't have ears to hear. You know, there have been people throughout my life, and still, I try to be very teachable on a lot of things. Because, you know, people ask me a lot of hard questions in the Bible, and I'll show them how smart I am. I just say, you know what, friend? I don't know. But this is what I do know. I know about the love of God in Christ that can anchor you where life can be stable without having the full answer to how all this is going to unfold or whatever, you know, because I don't know a lot of things. But sometimes you sit with people and you want them to be Jesus-centric, redemptive-centric. And so that's what Aquila and Priscilla did. What were they? They were present to help comprehend the light. So people could just stay in the revelation of the new covenant.
Amen.
And this is really, really important that we help one another. Otherwise, you live with... You know, if you're going to live in a dual system, you're going to carry a lot of baggage. It's going to make you really, really uncomfortable. And the conclusion with all of it, you look in the mirror and you live very disappointed. Because the old system, you're not good enough to qualify. You're just not. And so the new covenant of grace is a big, big deal. You know, Jesus talks about, in Mark 4, you know, the parables of the seed. He quotes, you know, he said, a lot of people don't have understanding of this. Look, it says in verse 13, he said to them, do you understand this parable? Do you have understanding? If you don't comprehend the light of the word, the living word, Jesus... You know, you're just going to have a religious life, a religious worldview, and you'll be enamored in the world, in the world's ways. You'll just think it's fine. But understanding the light will deliver you from worldly ways and worldly thinking. So this is a whole cool, you know this, you've heard it taught a million times, I'm sure, even by your pastors. But look at it says in verse 20 of this. These are the ones... sown on good ground. Those who hear the word accept it. Some translations, they understand it. And they bear fruit. Some 30, some 60. Some 100-fold. People always say, Keith, are you getting 30-fold? Are you getting 60-fold? You getting 100? I don't give it any thought. I just know if I'm living the Word, I'm getting increase. I don't focus on any of it. I don't worry about none of it. Sometimes certain days, just 7%, a little extra joy would just kick in really helpful. You know what I mean? A little bit of peace, about 8% more. Sometimes 27% monetary things are important. I know we think about the natural things, but I like increase. Jesus gives me everything I ever need, and He gives increase when I have understanding. When I have a revelation, when I have a comprehension, when I'm walking in the ways of the Lord. Look at it says in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise, shine. That's your assignment. If you're present to help, people comprehend the revelation of the love, you get up, you move, you do something, you make yourself available. I'm having some cool conversations with people that are different than me. Culturally different, politically different. You know, and I love it. I love it, you know. Some of my closest comrades are people who are just coming into understanding. I spend time with them.
That's
right. I like being with common people in any country I'm in. It grounds me. It shows me why ministry is so important.
Yes.
The big ministry, yeah, that's nice. The big things, the big, yeah. But it's the daily stuff of just being present to help somebody comprehend. Sometimes when you're helping people comprehend the light, you do the natural things. You pay their bills. You surprise them. What's this? No, it's just a blessing. It's what the light brings. The light brings blessing. God brings blessing. Everything's going to be okay. And you talk with people and speak over the light. But we have to arise. We have to shine. Everybody in the family, the Father's family, has something to give, has something to say. It's very, very important. What you say, what you have to do is really important. I love this story. I've talked about it a lot. It's in Luke 24. I'm just going to tell a little bit here. You know, this is on the day of the resurrection of Jesus. Now think about it. Jesus went to the cross. Man, He just tortured, took the sin of the world on Him. Just abused beyond recognition, the Bible says. He was so marred, he wasn't even recognized as human. As a man, the Bible says in Isaiah. He took it all. He they couldn't kill Him, so he had to give up His spirit. He had to die willfully, right? So he forgives everybody before He checks out. It's amazing. How do you comprehend that kind of love, you know? And He goes to the grave, wins our victory forever and ever. And third day, He's raised from the dead by the faith of God. What faith? Man, it's amazing. Now, the day He's resurrected, He presents Himself to the Father and then shows up in the earth. You know, if I was Him, I think I'd have had a big rally. I'd have had a big rally. I'd have said, nah, 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 nah. You could have nothing to do with me. But no, not Jesus. You know what Jesus did on the day of it? He showed up to two people. To two people. And He took time with two people on the road to Emmaus. On a long walk. You think He'd get another donkey or something, you know, so He didn't have to walk so long or something. He's walking, what, 5 miles, 7 miles, whatever it was? And He joins them, and they're all concerned. What was He doing? He was being present to help.
Yeah.
What was going to help them? Comprehending the light. So He shows up, and they didn't have a clue who He was. I love incognito things. And you know what they're talking about? Politics. He says, why are you so discouraged? See, people who are discouraged don't comprehend the light.
Right.
If you're living in discouragement, you're not comprehending the light for today, for right now.
Amen.
I don't care what's going on wrong in life, in the world, with politics, with everything. Jesus is our everything.
Yes.
And so He said, what's wrong? And they said, haven't you heard? And He said, heard what? Now you think He knew? He knew what they're talking about. So they rehearsed their fears. And they were political fears. We thought the kingdom was going to manifest a certain way.
Right.
You know, most people are frustrated politically. Even religious people, Christian people, you know. Everybody can get frustrated. Because it's very easy to be attached to just the natural life. And I know that from traveling in all the countries of the world, everywhere, it's broken. Everywhere. Not just America. Everywhere is broken. And so he says, what things? And he lets them talk. You know, sometimes when you're present to help people, you got to listen to a lot of nonsense. You got to let people just vent. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't stop the conversation. He just listened. And so when they were exhausted, it's like me, I was telling your pastor, both your pastors today, talked recently to somebody just a couple days ago, and they're all worked up at me. You know, because they're all tied into what political whatever, and you can't say nothing, but, you know, and they're just shouting. Okay. I say everything's going to be okay. Send a little text, you know. Let's just march on. And this wasn't like a Christian person. They couldn't use a lot of Christian terminologies with people. But Jesus let them vent. And then when they were exhausted from their nonsense, he spoke. And the Bible said he preached himself. That had to be the best New Covenant message ever decreed. Because he used the old to reveal the new. It says he preached concerning himself from the books of Moses, from the law, and from the prophets. He preached of the redemptive Jesus. And you know what? While he's preaching, you'd think they'd get it, but they didn't. I love that. I love that Jesus preached his best message and nobody could believe it. They couldn't get it. So you know how he solved the problem? They stop. He sits. They say, hey, have something to eat. We've walked a long way. So he sits down with them. And he breaks bread. Their eyes are open. There's comprehension. They comprehended the light of Jesus. He gives them communion as the risen Lord. And then he vanishes. That's why I take communion all the time. Because I think your eyes are open in the revelation of the finished work of Jesus. And that's why I'm addicted to the love of God. To comprehend the light is the key to everything. Here's what the Bible says. Then I'm going to be all done. I preached long enough. Look at Romans 8 verse 19. Do we have that verse? For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the Son of God. One translation says, waits for the revelation from the sons of God. Do you know that you carry everything you need?
Yeah.
And all you have to do as a believer is to say, I'm going to be present to help today. I'm going to be interrupted. I'm going to have an assignment, maybe to help with natural things. But I'm talking about helping people comprehend the light. Sometimes people comprehend the light through the natural things. But most people need help discerning the truth of the word and comprehending the beauty of what Jesus has done. Friend, this to me is missions. This is ministry. This is why I think it's important to gather. I think it's important to hear from your pastors, your leaders, the ministry gifts God's planted in the local church. It's very, very important because what you're doing, even if you're sitting here and you think, well, I've heard this before, I've heard that before. Well, hear it again. And that the Lord brings something different or enlightened or quickened. Because it's very, very important that we stay in a place where we're comprehending the light.
Right.
Where we're really interpreting everything the Lord has for us, for our lives, for our families, and for our world. Did you like the word today?
Yeah.
Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the goodness of God. You know, the Bible says in Galatians, says the only thing that's worth anything is a new creation. The only thing that's worth anything is a new creation. Heidi and I were cleaning our house out, closets. Heidi's on this kick, man. She's cleaning everything out. And She's going through all the closets and just, you know, it's amazing what you can gather and collect. So we're giving all this stuff, you know, to one of the homeless shelter ministries there in the area. But we gather all kinds of things. We chase stuff, don't we? I remember when I was young, I thought, man, if I could just have a nice car that ran, you know. When I went to Rhema, I had a 1966 Olds 98. The thing was from here to the back of the door. You know? You know what? I drove from L.A. to Tulsa. It broke down 7 times. I was out in the middle of the desert. This is like in August. You know, it's 118. I'm out there praying in tongues. You know, the first couple of times I was a spiritual giant. By the 7th time, I was cussing out everybody in sight. But you know, but I actually got there. But you know, I remember the day I got a better car. I remember the day, you know, we were able to buy a house for $110,000. You know, yeah. I thought, man, how are we going to afford this? $110,000. You know, I remember I wanted our own facility. We bought the mission center. I wanted a Life Center USA to give people an idea. God's given me. Then campuses, you know, God's been good to me. I marvel. But you know what? The only thing that's worth anything is the revelation of the new creation.
Come on.
The understanding of God's personal love for you.
Yes.
That you receive. Those who receive, he came to his own didn't get it. They didn't receive it. That's why I like to be childish in a way when it comes to receiving. I love to just whew.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I love to be loved. And I believe it. The only thing that's worth anything is a new creation. That's what I think about when I was talking to these people on the phone. They're yelling at you, you know, or you talk to people, they're all, you know, they're atheists and agnostics, and they just enrages, and all you're doing is just trying to get through the day with them, but to tell people the value and the beauty of Christ in you, aren't you glad you're saved?
Yes.
Huh? Lift your hands to heaven. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Take a moment, just thank the Lord that you're redeemed. Father, thank you that you love us, you care for us. We lift our hearts to heaven. We lift our voices to heaven. We're the redeemed. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for planting all of us here in this place called Heart of the Bay. Thank you for Pastor Mark, Pastor Brenda, all the team, all the leaders. My goodness, what great gifts in the body of Christ you planted in a place. Thank you that we can, you know, we can come, we can hang out, we can receive, and we can learn, we can grow, we can comprehend the light. Father, help us now to share the revelation we have. Friend, you don't need to know a bunch of Bible verses to do this. You don't need to have all the answers. You just need to be gripped deeply by the revelation of Jesus and the revelation of the new creation, and let the Lord do a dynamic, powerful, redemptive work in you. Father, I just thank you for this great church. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord, or you're watching via live streaming on one of the streaming devices, just take a moment and say, Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Let that be your prayer this week. Just say it every day. Lord, help my understanding. Let it be enlightened. Let me get it. Let me comprehend you. Father, I pray for every person in this place, and I pray for every person who hurts today. Maybe they hurt in their physical body, like my wife Heidi with her back today. Father, I just pray for Heidi, even as I'm teaching now, that praying that you just heal her back, take all the discomfort away. Hallelujah. So when I go home, she can make me a nice meal. Hallelujah. Amen. Take her out of all of her pain. Forgive all my selfish thoughts, Lord. But Father, thank you that you love us. God, all the little things, all of our worries, all of our frustrations, all of our political misunderstandings, all of us got issues, Lord, that just things that disturb our spirit. Guard our hearts, guard our minds in Christ Jesus. And Father, bring healing and wholeness to all the beautiful saints in this place, even now. I speak healing and wholeness in victory, in relationships, in life, with kids, with grandkids, with co-workers, with neighbors. God, you're doing a great, great work in all of our lives. We give you praise. We thank you for miracles among us even now. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen.